Dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That was some gospel lesson today. A little intimidating. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the greatest sinner of all? St. Paul answered it by saying he was the greatest sinner of all. It's because before his conversion, he jailed and he murdered many Christians for their belief, and he considered himself the greatest sinner of all. But today's words of Jesus are like a mirror, and it's held up to each and every one of us. And just like St. Paul, you can't get through that gospel we read today without needing to say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's not just St. Paul that's a sinner, but each and every one of us as well. You know, Jesus begins by saying, "You've heard it said, you shall not murder, but I tell you, anyone that harbors anger against a brother or a sister will be liable to judgment." Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has harbored any anger at all? There's not a one of us that can't say, "I've harbored anger against a spouse, against a relative, a brother or a sister, against somebody at work," where we've harbored anger or bitterness or resentment against another human being. And if left to our own righteousness, we are subject and liable to the fires of hell, Jesus says. And our response needs to be, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus goes on to say in our text, "And if you say you fool," the word is racha, "you fool, you idiot, you stupid person, if you demean another person with the words you say to them, you are liable to judgment," Jesus says. And which one of us hasn't put somebody else down to make ourselves feel better? You know, I was with the preschoolers. Even three-year-olds know that it's wrong to call names. I had a little three-year-old boy the other day in preschool come up to me and he says, "Do you know that boy said the S word?" I said, "Oh, he did. Yes, he called me stupid." They know, 3 years old, you don't do that. Don't call somebody stupid or you fool or you idiot. In fact, Jesus in our text says you'll be liable to judgment. Whoa. And we've all done it. We've all done it. Whether it's our attitudes to people of other religions, we've certainly heard a lot of it of our attitudes to people of the other political party. When we disagree with people, "Oh, look at that idiot, that fool, that stupid person, what are they doing?" And we stand convicted. And each one of us needs to say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has not hurt a neighbor with a callous call? Jesus goes on to say, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who has lusted for a woman in their heart has committed adultery." You know, it wasn't that long ago, for those of us who were older, none of you scouts will remember President Carter, but there was a huge uproar in the news when President Carter said and admitted he had lusted after other women. Now, I think most of us men just said, "Of course, duh, who of us haven't lusted after another woman?" Whether it's looking at a Playboy centerfold or you can't turn on the TV with half the commercials that are on there with the skimpily clad ladies that can't help but lead you to lust. And ladies, unless you think it's just the men, Chippendales and the thunder from down under has caused plenty of lust for the women as well. It's not just a male issue. And so what should be an intimate, life-affirming act becomes something that is simply encouraged for self-gratification. And we hear those words, "Any of you who have lusted, I tell you, have already committed adultery." Mirror, mirror on the wall, who has succumbed to the siren's call? We all have lusted after another human being. And if we take Jesus' words from our text this morning to heart, every one of us has to say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Now, in Lutheran theology, we say that the purpose of the law is to show us our sin. We talk about the law being a mirror, so that we can't stand before God on our own righteousness. We can't boast before God and say, "Look at me, how well I've followed the law." Most of us can say, "We've never murdered," but Jesus says, "Have you never had anger?" Most of us can say, "We've never committed adultery," but have you lusted? And have you called somebody a name? Have you put somebody else down so that you feel better? And Jesus pushes us in this text to finally, there's not a person that can stand without saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's where Jesus gets us. Finally, you can't stand before God when you listen to a text like that today. Paul in Romans 3 says, "For no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." And that's the purpose of the law. It still serves as a guide for us, but the primary purpose is to be that mirror that says, that drives us to Christ. It says, "I can't stand on my own. If I stand on my own, I will be liable to the fires of hell," Jesus says. But rather, we are to go to the cross. That's the purpose of the law. The law points us to the cross. And it's at the cross that we find hope, that we find life. Because there Jesus says, "Yes, you are a sinner. Maybe you're not the chief of sinners like Paul was, but you're a sinner just the same, each and every one of you. And your hope is not in yourself, it's in God and his mercy for you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And when the law points you to the cross and you kneel and you say, "God, have mercy on me," that's what you get. You get mercy. You get forgiveness. You get love. And that's what changes us. It's being pointed to Christ and being filled with Christ that then is the way that we are called to live our lives in this world. God teaches us to seek his mercy. The amazing thing is that God does forgive us. You know, though you've probably seen that bumper sticker, I've seen it numerous times. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And so the law, if we try to justify ourselves, "Look at me, I've done so good," sooner or later it's going to convict you. And it's when we turn to Christ that we find he is the one who forgives. You know, in the Old Testament, the covenant between God's chosen people and God was the law. And that first lesson we read from Deuteronomy today, choose blessing or cursing. And based on how well you uphold the law, you're either going to be blessed or cursed. But the New Testament is a new agreement. And this time it's not just between the chosen people of God, the Jews, but it's between God and all humanity. And this time, God says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this time, Jesus says, I'm giving you a whole new way to live your lives. He says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have first loved you. To do that, you first need to know God has loved you. Love one another as I have first loved you. Jesus doesn't say, just try harder now, love each other. First, he says, know that you have been loved by me. That God forgives you. That's why he went to the cross. He died on the cross that you might know his forgiveness. He has first loved you. He has first forgiven you. He has poured out his life for you. And he says, have faith in my love and grace in your life. Fill your hearts with grace. Fill your hearts with forgiveness. Fill your hearts with the love that I show you that would even die on a cross for you. And when we fill ourselves with Christ and with his Spirit, then he says, now, filled with me, go out and love one another as I have first loved you. So mirror, mirror on the wall, it always convicts. Anytime the law, we look into the law, its job is to say, you are not righteous on your own. Turn to Christ that you might find mercy. And so it is in the cross. That's where we can stand before God, not on our own greatness, but on his grace and mercy. And then once we receive that, once we are filled with Christ, then he says, now go out and reflect what I have given you and share it with the world. As God has been forgiving to you, treat your spouse the way I treat you. Boy, that would change a lot of marriages. Instead of resenting our spouses for what they may or may not be, Jesus says, treat your spouse the same way I've treated you. Treat your coworker the same way I have treated you, with love and forgiveness and grace. Not on your own power, but filled with the power, the Spirit of Christ. Go out, and last week we talked about earlier in this chapter of Matthew, it says, be the light in the world. Take that love of Christ and share it in the world around you. And so we're called. And a text like this, it's sometimes it's think, well, I just need to get better and better. No, what you need to do is to say, Lord, have mercy. And in his mercy and grace, then take that into the world to those around you. So live in response to God's grace. Be forgiving as God has been forgiving. Give your tithes and offerings as God gave everything to you. Just give back a portion back to God to support his work. Show compassion to widows and orphans, James tells us, for this is true religion. And it all starts with a God who first loved us and now calls us, know his love, know that you're a sinner, but your sins have been forgiven, and now go out and take that with you into the world. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most loving of all? It's Jesus.